am so thrilled to be with you tonight. I was had sushi for lunch and knocked myself out. This afternoon when I got up, I was about to leave the room, the hotel room, and as I was leaving, I felt the Holy Spirit said, don't preach what you preached this morning. And when I got here, I realized why. It's because there's so much energy here. And you need to hear this because you're the one that's going to spearhead what God's about to do in your church and in your city. And I love the way Pastor Mark is so sensitive to the Spirit, and he just picked that up. That is faith. This reality is that is possible. That is not something that's a fluke in Manila. That's not because people in Manila don't have anything to do. It's because there's something that happens when you catch the vision of discipleship. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I've just become a grandfather in January of this year. And my nation is an interesting nation because 50% of our nation is below 20 years old. And 70% is below 30 years old. And I constantly check if that's the constituency of our church, because if that's not happening, that means we're not reaching the city. If it becomes older and older and older, then that means we're losing the city. And that's why it's important that this service right here, because obviously, how many of you know the young will all be more numerous than the old, and that this has to get bigger and bigger and bigger because you are the younger ones, and you're the future of the church. And as I was carrying my grandson for the first time, my very first grandson, in January of this year, as I was carrying him, I actually wrote a blog about it, and I felt like I was holding the future, that my life's been extended. And you are an extension of the church. You are the future of the church. And I love the song that you sang earlier, I'm Chasing Your Heart. That's what you sang, amen? How many of you sang that song? And I'm overwhelmed by your heart. And I want to talk to you tonight about the heart of God, the one that you're chasing. How many of you want to still chase the heart of God? This is the one that really, if you go deep down in his heart, this is it. This is the one that makes him dance. Not you dancing, this is the one that makes him dance. I'm not kidding you, we're going to read it in a while. And there's three stories in the book of Luke chapter 15. And it begins in verse 1, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go directly to verse 3. Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? This is the heart of the shepherd. This is the heart of God. This is who he is. He got 100 sheep. He loses one. He leaves the 99 and he starts looking for the one. When he finds it, he joyfully, that's the heart of God. That is what causes him joy, is finding one of these lost sheep. And he puts him on his shoulders and goes home. But he doesn't stop there. He throws a party. He calls his friends. How many of you want to throw God a party? Well, bring home a sheep. There's no cause for a party without sheep. Are you still here? Now imagine if you, each one of you brought one sheep every Sunday here, we're going to have a massive party, and God's going to come down here and he's going to dance in front of all of us. Joyfully dance in front of all of us. Joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home and calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I'm having so much fun. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. This is what makes my day, is when my children get it. This is not about just being in a room like this and dancing by ourselves, but when I see people who have been lost come home to me. Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more. Everybody say, more rejoicing. Interesting, isn't it? You don't even have to conjure it. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to create it. Just bring the lost people in, and the Bible says there will be more rejoicing. Can't begin to tell you the joy of holding a brand new baby. You know, when you hold a brand new baby, you know you're about to enter a new realm of life. Unfortunately, I'm the grandfather, so I'm not cleaning the mess. But the joy of that, of having a child, the spiritual children, brings joy. And the Bible says that God rejoices in that. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people singing and dancing. More rejoicing. in heaven. You're saying, God, I'm chasing your heart. God, I'm overwhelmed by your heart. Well, this is his heart. This is his heart. This is what fills his heart with joy, the Bible says. Now, down in verse 8, he tells another story about a lost person. He uses now not the sheep, but he talks about a lost coin. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light the lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls all her friends again and throws another party. How many of you know God loves parties? For the right reasons. And he says he rejoices, and I found my lost coin. In the same way, I'll tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joy, 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 overwhelming joy. And Jesus, in telling this parable, was really trying to set up for what is known as Jesus's most popular parable ever. And we find this is actually the story that cost me to become born again. And it's in verse 11, and Jesus, the Bible says, continued, there was a man who had two sons, and he's beginning to describe the heart of the father. And he says, there's a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. And here's the younger son coming to the father and say, I want to get out of this house. I want to move along, go away, and do my own thing. And the father graciously gives him half of his estate, or the share of his estate. And if you understand anything about these times, the older brother usually gets the bigger share. But that's, I want to paint a picture for you of the world out there. There's a world in here where the father and I and you and I live. And there's a world out there that's left the father, that is holding on to his share of what God has given him, and he is left. And I want you to understand that, because God wants you to be the shepherd. God wants you to be that woman that's going to be in search for these people. And until you understand who these people are, you're not going to be able to reach them. Now, he begins to say, not long after that, this is now the younger brother, he got together all he had and set off for a distant country. I need you to understand, when you're trying to reach someone in the world, he's not where you are at, he is at a distant country. You can't move someone from a distant country overnight to your home. You're going to have to do it in stages. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to visit them. You're going to have to love on them. I was with a Filipino brother who moved here. Powerful story. I met him on the internet because he was listening to my podcasts in Manila, and he said, I'm in Brisbane. I said, well, I'm headed over there. And he was at the conference here. And he said, could you have a moment with me? And yesterday at your cafe, I was sitting there. And he was telling me the story of how he's now a nurse in your nation. But because of his love for Jesus, he would enter this man who's actually dying. And for weeks he would share to him, and every time he would share to him, the man would scold him and say, don't talk to him about your Jesus. But every week he just kept coming back and coming back, and every week that he came back, the man scolded him. You following the story? Distant country. Sometimes people are not ready to give just yet. This is a story I just heard yesterday. And I said, finally, the guy went into coma. He couldn't respond anymore. He kept going in, and every time he would go in, he would share, you're about to leave this earth. You need Jesus. How many of you know this guy was relentless? This guy knows this guy's a lost coin, and God loves this man no matter how ornery he can be. And he said, the second time that morning, the guy still rejected him. The third time, by the fourth time, he still felt like, if I were him, I was telling myself, if I were him, I'm not coming back. If you want to go to hell, then goodbye. I was so convicted thinking that and remembering this story. And he finally went in there and he said, Taylor, you're about to leave. And he said, there's no way out of this place except Jesus. And he preached the gospel to him, and he responded really in a way that he couldn't speak anymore. His tears fell. And he said, an hour later, the man died. And he said, you know, for months I was looking at this man. There was just a worrying look in his face. When he died, he had an angelic face. He just had complete peace. But see, he understood something. Reaching people with the gospel is understanding they're coming from a distant country. It will take time. It will take effort. The minute they reject you, don't take that as rejection. Just keep going out there and reaching them out. Just keep speaking to them. Just keep loving them. Just keep sending them a text message. Keep praying for them. I remember a guy in Shanghai. We have 11 churches in China. And I remember going to Shanghai, and the guy, young man who picked me up was one of our leading disciple makers. And when he picked me up, he came to me, and he was telling me a story about this young woman that had gotten saved in church. And he kept telling me how the woman had backslidden and she won't come to church. And he said, I keep emailing her, I keep texting her, I keep going over to her house and inviting her to church. And every time I came, she's trying to avoid me. And he said, Pastor, what do I do? I said, love her with the love of the Lord. And he said, yes, I keep texting her and emailing her and reaching out to her, and she won't come to church. And I said, what do I do, Pastor? I said, love her with the love of the Lord. I said, yes, yes, yes. I emailed her and called her and I visited her and invited her to church. And every time I do that, she avoids me. And I said, what do I do, Pastor? I said, love her with the love of the Lord. And he said, yes, Pastor, I love her. I said, love her with the love of the Lord. And every time she said that, I try. Well, love is patient. And you're getting so impatient with this woman. One day he's going to come. But keep him engaged. Though he's in a distant country. Keep reaching out to him. Don't get tired of it. Now, the Bible says he went to this distant country and squandered his wealth in wild living. If they're living wild, everybody say amen. You can expect that. They live in the distant country. Instead of arguing over that, I always tell my folks at church, if people come in here with it, if people come in here and they're not the same kind as you are, let them in. Years ago, one of the things that I've always done was I have a heart for people who are homosexuals. I befriend them. I reach out to them. I literally do. I pray for them, and I know they're from a distant country. They don't think like me. And years ago, I had the privilege of leading a man to Jesus. It was a long engagement. Now I didn't get engaged to him. Amen. But it was a long moment of just engaging him and gradually moving him one step after the other, one step after the other, until he finally got saved. But the powerful thing is the number of people that this guy has brought to church today. The easiest people who can lead other people are the people who come from the distant country because they smell alike. But the church is not patient enough to walk with them. Now, in verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Listen to this. What you need to do, folks, here's all you need to do if you want God's heart to be seen in your city. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to be the deepest theologian. You just have to have the heart of love. Are you here? And listen to this. Here's how this works. Your job is just to befriend the guy. Say hello. Now, don't overdo it, okay? Just hello. Next week, hi. Next week, maybe a few weeks, when he looks, get the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Can I pray for you? Is there something bothering you? Just like that, it's not go and make disciples. It's as you go, make disciples. As you go to the office, as you go and meet people, as you hang out with your friends, as you hang out with family, as you see your mother, just as you go, sense that. Don't even look for it. Just relax. I remember doing a seminar like this in the United States, in Phoenix. And I was teaching this very class, and this guy said, you know, I said, the way to go is just be available when you're there. Don't even look for the opportunity. Don't even look for it. Just make yourself available at that moment that that person's there. 5 minutes. Don't try to bring a home run. Just offer a glass of water. Just say, can I pray for you? And if he says, no, that's okay. I'll pray for you next time. Just be available. The story was, he was walking with his dog and his wife. And as they were walking, a car parks beside them. And the window comes down and says, I'm lost. I'm trying to look for this place. Would you know this address? And they hand him the paper. He's looking at this paper. And it just didn't make sense. He didn't know where it was. He said, I don't know where it is. I'm sorry, I can't help you. In the meantime, his wife goes in the house with the dog. And he hands the paper back to the guy. As he was handing the paper and the window was coming up, he remembered that morning I was talking about make yourself available. So he starts knocking at the window and it comes down again and he says, excuse me, can I have that paper back? Let me just check. I might figure this one out. So he's looking at this and where are you from? And he's trying to have a conversation with this guy and trying to help him. And the guy was looking at this thing, and he was, I'm in a hurry, I'm looking for this. Well, let me figure this out. He's trying to make conversation to have an opening to pray for him. But the guy was getting impatient, and the guy said, I need the address, I've got to leave. In the meantime, as he hands his address, he didn't realize his wife, how many of you know women are more sensitive than men? Had remembered my lesson earlier. She had stepped into the house, memorized the address, typed it on Google, and printed out the map. True story. And so she hands the map to him. And now he's looking at the map. The car's driving away. He's now chasing the car. I'm not making this up. This is a true story. He knocks on the car. The car stops. The windows goes down. So, excuse me, sir. I've got this for you. And the guy looks at this paper. And you know what he says? He pauses and looks at this paper. It was almost like a miracle from God. A literal miracle from God. And it says, I am an Iranian Muslim, and I've been in your country for 4 months, and no one has done anything like this for me. Thank you. They exchanged cards, and the next thing they know, they were having dinner together. Now, it may take years for that man to actually come to church, but you move them from a distant country. Not everybody speaks English. Less than 20% of the world speaks English. English is not a universal language. English is a language of wider communication. If you can't speak English in Australia, you're not speaking to anybody, amen? But English, when you step out of here and go to Taiwan or the places I go to, people don't speak English. Less than 20% of the world speak English. English is used by doctors and pilots who have to land the plane. Universal languages are not just languages, they're music. Music's universal. That's why music is so important. How many of you downloaded Gangnam Style? How many of you are still dancing that thing? You don't understand the words, but you downloaded it. Why? Because it's a universal language. Numbers is a universal language. Take a Mexican, a Chinese businessman, an Australian, put them in the same room. They can't understand each other. Pull out the financial statements, and all of a sudden they're friends. But you know what the universal language of the universe is? Love. Everybody understands that. Making myself available. And that's spoken, making myself available. You know what love is, what it really looks like? Just remember these four A's. It's being available. It's accepting people for who they are. It's affection. It's when you affirm others. When you spend time with them, you're affirming them. You're saying to them, you're important. You are, now I'm not saying, you know what, you're important because you're a lost sheep. No, you don't say that. Just hang out with them because when you do so, what you're saying is you're important. You're worth my time. You're worth my energy. The church is losing because we're depending on a handful of guys like the guys up here, when really it should activate each and every one of us. Reaching out, praying for somebody, touching somebody, praying in your heart and believing God can touch this person and change this person. Are you still with me? The world, by the way, the world is full of three people: young people, poor people, and number three, lost people. If you want to reach the world, these are what you're looking for. The world. I'm not talking about Australia, Brisbane. I'm talking about the world. The world that Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the world, is full of three kinds of people: young people, poor people, and people who don't have Jesus. And if we expect a handful of ministers to do this, we will lose this battle. It's when each one of us is activated. See, the only time people can get to Jesus is through a church on Sunday, we are in trouble. If this was a business that was open only on Sundays for 90 minutes, we are in big trouble. We want to be the 7-Eleven church, the church that's open 24 hours a day, every day, 700 days a week, 365 days a year. And you know what's going to happen? And it's in every location, because wherever you are, we are open for business. We're in trouble if the church is just us waiting for people to get here. The world is in a distant country. They're lost. But you know how you get them there? Here's what you need to do. Make friends with them, because here's the theology of discipleship right here. After he had spent everything he had, there will come a severe famine in people's lives. You don't have to create that. God will create that for them. The problem is when you're not there. Because when someone enters a severe famine, the Bible says, he will begin to be in need. How many of you came to Jesus because of a need? How many of you, you know, I have got everything I already have. I don't even need Jesus. How many of you came to Jesus because you had a need? You know, I've been pastoring now for about 28 years. And every Sunday, I get prayer requests from envelopes. And you know what was funny? Over the last 20, 25 years, I can almost stack them in stacks. They're all the same prayers. It just dawned on me after praying for all these envelopes that everybody is actually praying for the same thing every week. They're all about five things. The first one is usually something about money. It's all different. I need money for tuition. I need money for mortgage. I need money for rental. I need money for things. But it's all about money. Then the second one is usually something about health. I've got diabetes. I've got cancer. I've got this. It's something about health. The third category is all about relationships. My mom and I are not agreeing with each other. We're fighting. Our marriage is falling apart. My son just moved out of the house. It's all these three categories over and over again. I just wised up. After a while, I realized that when I prayed and sorted out, I ended up with five piles. And instead of praying for 50,000 prayers, I just lay hands on five piles. Because it's the same prayer. It's money. It's health. It's relationships. It's a lack of direction and fulfillment. I don't know what to do with my life. I had no purpose. I'm not enjoying life. And the fifth thing is, I hope my relative gets saved. Over and over again, week after week after week, year after year upon year, here's the point. Everybody has a need. You don't have to create it. You just have to wait for it. And that's the first stage when you can now begin to get that person moving in the direction of God. When you understand that, then you become sensitive. When you understand that, then you don't have to be insecure. When you understand that, you don't have to promote yourself, because you're smart enough to know that person is going to get to a place of need. And I know who can answer that, and it's not me, it's God. There's no pressure in doing this. It's just being sensitive. It's just being available. It's just accepting the person for who he or she is. The Bible says he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country. And listen to this. A guy in need is going to run to the world. He's going to try everything he can. But the reality is the world is bankrupt and the world will just use him. The world does not have the answer. Jesus has the answer. But you need reason why they're going to run to the country, to the wild country, to the citizens of the world, because the church is not amongst the people in need. The people around them are the very citizens that they're with. And we need to be open to meet. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to go to the bars, amen? Some of you are saying, I've got the bar ministry now. I didn't say that. I just said, meet them where they are. Don't use that as an excuse. But he says, after he sent everything, he went to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. That's what the world does to people. They manipulate them. They use them. They take advantage of them. Go to the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach, but the pods, the pigs were with the pods. In other words, he wanted the drug and the dope and the cocaine and all the bad things that the world had to offer, but he knew it wasn't enough to fill him. Worst of all, no one gave it to him. He had to pay a price for it with debauchery. That's the world, folks. That's your friend. That's your cousin. He's going to get used by the world. Some of it's not going to be drugs. Some of it's just going to be spent with business and marriages that are going to fall apart. Because the church is not there. Now, here's the first thing. One is you're basically just discerning two things. When you're trying to reach out to a person, you're discerning what is the point of need. And you already know that. There's five different categories. But the second thing you need to look at is this. When he came to his senses, sometimes people have a point of need, but they haven't come to their senses that the answer is God. You've got to wait for that. Amen? Sometimes people have come to their senses that God is the answer, but they don't have a need. You got to wait for that as well. Here's the good part. My job is not to pressure the guy to get saved. I just need to hang out with him and realize one day, buddy, you're going to be in a point of need. And one day you're going to come to your senses. And sometimes there's still enough humidity in the air to keep him fresh, but one day, my friend, you're going to dry up. And I don't have to dry you up, God will. And when you're ready to drink this juice, I'm just here to offer it to you. And constantly, by the way, the way you do this, you'll never know who it's going to be. Just befriend everybody around you. Everybody. Just be nice to everybody. With a sensitivity that one day they're going to come to a point of need and they're going to come to their senses. He says, when he came to his senses, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'll set up and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands. So he got up and went to his father. I love this next verse. He says, but while he was still a long way off, interesting. He'd been gone for years, and yet while he was a long way off, the father saw him. Do you know why the father saw him while he was a long way off? Because he was always looking out for the day he comes. And that's your job. That's my job. My job is not to force them. My job is to just stand there and wait for that day when he starts turning around and starts heading for home. Because he's come to his point of need. He's come to his senses, the Bible says. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, this idea of compassion, to suffer with. You know how embarrassing it was for the father to run out there and meet up with him? That's what passion is, to suffer. Compassion is to suffer with. To stand there and say, you know, I'm standing with you because I'm your friend. No matter what the embarrassment may be, no matter where you are, I'm going with you. I'm walking this way with you. And sometimes the Christian church is the very church that drives them away. And I know you're not like that. Amen? Hallelujah for City Point. But we've got to go. We've got to be sensitive to the reality. The Bible says his father ran. Now get this. This is the only verse in the Bible you will find where God actually ran. If you look at Genesis, God walks. God loves to walk. The Bible says God walked in the cool of the day. God's a relaxed God. But the only time the Bible actually says that God ran, God is never in a hurry except for this one moment in the entire Bible when he ran when he saw this guy who was lost headed for home. It actually excites him. If you really want the heart of God to get excited, if you want to hear God speak to you and tell you, Joey, I am so thrilled about you. I'm so thrilled about you. I don't know if you've ever seen God pinch you in your cheek and say, you cute little Joey, you Filipino boy. You're so cute. Not because you're cute, but because you've got my heart. This is the thing that makes me run. This is the thing that excites me. This is the thing that thrills me. This is the heartbeat. And if you cry out and say, I'm chasing after your heart, this is what you're chasing after. No wonder he told me to change the message. Because you were going to sing, chase after your heart. Well, this is it. Tonight, go home to mom, Mother's Day. Mom, I'm washing your dishes today. What? Changes everything, doesn't it? When you begin to engage them. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick! He didn't say, no. Oh, you know what? Thanks for the repentance, but right now, go home, wash up, come back when you're cleaner. No, he said, no, quick, right now, get in here. This is the most exciting moment for me. And more than that, bring the best robe of righteousness that comes from my goodness, not from anything you've done. Bring it right now, the best one. And put it on the boy, because from this day forward, he's going out there and get his friends from the distant country as well. He's got a righteousness that works. And put it on him and put a ring on his finger. Tell everyone that he's an heir of this thing. And more than that, put on the sandals of the gospel of peace so he can go out there and preach it himself. Because he's got more sinner friends than these guys who are in this house. And then here's what we're going to do, boys. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's have a feast and a party! You want God to celebrate a party every Sunday? That's why the church in Manila is growing, because there's a party every Sunday. And guess who's paying for the party? The guy who's enjoying it the most. Because you've got his heart. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older brother, who was in the field, or so he thought he was in the field, in the mission field, I'm doing the works of God. When they came here to the house, he heard the music and the dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on here? Your brother has come, he replied. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he is having back safe and sound. The older brother refused. I don't like this discipleship message. I don't like this brother, dirty, nasty people coming in here. I like this prim and proper. I want this with our songs. I want this with the way I want to do it. I don't like this thing. It's a turnoff. It doesn't smell right. I can smell the hint of a pig. Refused to go to his father. And watch this. His father goes to him. So his father, verse 28, went out and pleaded with, this is the heart. Watch the heart. He goes to him and says, but pleads with him. But he answered his father, watch this. The guy was not about relationship. It was about religion. Look, he didn't even call him father. all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. That's a lie. You know, when you're self-righteous, you become a liar. You think you own your keep and you deserve it, and God says you think you're higher than others. You think you don't deserve reaching the others. You think you're better than them. I never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me a young goat. And you know what? You get blinded. I could celebrate my friends. The guy was lonely. He didn't even have friends. You know, your best friends are going to be, you want to have lifelong friends? Get somebody saved in the kingdom of Jesus, and that guy will be your friend for life. You hear? The guy had no friends. And he was deluded. He said, you know what? You never shared anything to me. Well, we read the scripture. It says that half he was given his share, and he couldn't see it. He was never happy. He didn't have the heart of the Father. But when this son of yours, notice his language, never called him father and couldn't take it upon himself to call his brother, brother. The son of yours comes. My son, the father said, you will always have me with you, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is now alive. Folks, you sang the